Hi, everyone. Thanks for tuning in to the KevCast. I'm your host, Kevin Winder, author of Getting Better When You Can't. This is a podcast that's designed to help you see things from a very different perspective. I believe you'll find the content interesting, engaging, and even life-changing. Please check out my website at www.kevinwinder.com. And remember, I spell Kevin like the number 7. Be sure to sign up for my weekly newsletter entitled Winder's Weekly Wisdom. Thanks so much for tuning in, and now, on to the KevCast. Hi, everyone, and thanks so much for joining the KevCast. I'm your host, Kevin Winder. I hope you are having an awesome morning and an awesome day, and today we are going to dive right into it. We're going to be talking about mouth-to-mouth resuscitation. Now, mouth-to-mouth resuscitation is a great metaphor for the spiritual reality that I'm going to bring forward to you today. And think about it. There are many emergency situations that cause a person to lose or diminish their capacity for breath. As you know, that quickly becomes a life or death situation. I mean, if you can't breathe, that's bad. So for some of these situations, a first responder can actually take their own breath and blow it into the mouth and lungs of the suffering person. And this practice will actually sustain and recover the life of that true person. So it's an amazing thing that my breath or your breath can actually save the life of another person who is struggling for breath. We kind of take our breathing for granted. I mean, it's automatic. It's so automatic that we lose consciousness of it. We usually have no awareness of our airflow until the moment that we can't get enough of it, maybe in an asthmatic attack, or we're choking, or we're in a pool and we suck in some water and we're struggling for air. See, breathing is the process of inspiration, which is breathing in, and expiration, which is breathing out. There's a lot of scientific information out there about our parasympathetic nerve system. It could all stem from our brain stem, our biological realities, and all kinds of things can be added to the conversation about breathing. But the corpus of what we want to focus on and what can be learned about breathing really can't be found in the empirical, measurable space, the scientific space. You see, science doesn't usually view expiration or breathing out or inspiration as dying. Now, it won't deny that if these two opposite exchanges ever stop, then death will occur. But it doesn't see breathing out as dying because they assume or presuppose the breathing response function. Now, that sentence, if you missed it, let me repeat it. Breathing out is dying. Like, you don't think much about it. Take your breath and let it out. If you don't take another breath in a few seconds, it's uncomfortable. In a few minutes, it's lethal. And so this is a reality that we need to kind of get at. And science just sees it as part of life because they presuppose the breathing response function. Now, this post is hopefully going to show you how to gain awareness that life is not automatic. You see, nearly all spiritual practices, I don't care if you're talking about Buddhism or Hinduism, Christianity, Islam, if you're a modern contemplative, whatever it is, they all seem to know that a person needs to sit quietly, to be still, and to focus on their breathing. Even meditation, centering prayer, relaxation techniques, they all use breathing to anchor oneself into a particular place of awareness. Breathing is like the X and Y coordinates on a graph. You see, the horizontal would be our biology, and the vertical is our spirituality. And breathing anchors us into that place where both our X and Y converge. Breathing is spiritual. I know that it is also a physical reality of our bodies. It is a biological response, yes, but it's not, that is not all that it is. You see, the Greek word for breath or wind and the word for spirit are the same thing. You see that in the book of John, chapter 3, verses 6 through 8. Breath comes and ushers in a new and restorative life and a sense of well-being. I mean, think about it. When you're breathing, take a nice deep breath. It relaxes you. It restores you. It builds you. But if you take that breath and don't let it out, see, it's not just about inspiration. It's also about expiration. If you don't let that air out, your breath, that thing that gave you so much life, becomes toxic if it's held. Breath is intended to go out and to fill another, just like in mouth-to-mouth resuscitation. Have you ever heard the scientific claims about argon gas and how that same argon gas, which is an inert gas, which doesn't degrade, is in our oxygen supply, and it has been in circulation for thousands and thousands and hundreds of thousands of years. And so the same spirit, the same breath that brought life to the ancients is breathing life to us. You know, as Rob Bell says, you don't have a spiritual life, you are a spiritual life. Since the day you were born, and me, until the day our bodies die, we are not just breathing. We are being breathed. You see, we experience a spiritual mouth-to-mouth resuscitation, though we are often oblivious to the source. You ever wonder, where does our breath come from? Where does it come? Spirit or breath is our source of life. Breathing or spirit is life. John 6:6 says it's the spirit who gives life. The flesh is of no help to us. You see, we don't possess it. It is given to us each moment. It is a constant outpouring to us. We can't keep it, and it must be given back. So we can conclude from all of this that life is borrowed. Now, think about the implications of this. I mean, if what I'm saying is true, then the maker of life has been coming to us, sustaining us, holding us, keeping us, as it says in Psalm 121. He's our keeper. If this is true, then the source of all of life is profoundly benevolent. Think about it. This source of spirit, of breath, of life, it didn't pull back from us when we were in our darkest day. If anything, we would look at our darkest day as that one day when this process of spirit giving life to flesh was actually interrupted or stopped. This spirit, this breath, didn't judge us despite our stubbornness, despite our rebellions. When we went off the deep end, life didn't. In our biggest sins or failures, life was there breathing into us. It sustains us, even when we do the most horrible things. If we want to know what God is like, look over the track record of our breathing. He, she can be seen in our face every moment, whether we are conscious of it or not. Now, I know for some of us, this thought may not sit very well. Some of us don't like this notion of a God staring us in the face and breathing into us. It sort of insults our sense of perception of our autonomy. We like to think of ourselves as more autonomous than that, as more in control than that. And we prefer to jettison this idea as untrue, a fable, or unscientific. Now, if that's you, can I ask you to just try and sit with this idea rather than just toss it aside? mean, really take in this idea that God is there in your face, breathing in and breathing out. If you want to see just how much control you really have, then hold your breath. Refuse to take in air for at least a few minutes. You'll see quickly, you don't want to be that kind of person who takes in the air and rejects or ignores the source of it. In the moment when you draw that breath from the benevolent, generous source, just sit with it. Sit with your breath. Sit with your breathing. Sit with your being breathed. Sit long enough to ask yourself why this idea makes you feel so uncomfortable. Sit still long enough to get that false inner voice to stop calling you silly or superstitious or unscientific. Don't run. Don't squirm off the bubble here. Just sit. Be still. Don't puff up with pride and certainty and convince yourself you know better. Just pay attention. Notice your defensiveness, your arguments, your calculations, and your distractions. They all come out at this time, in this moment, the moment you push back at this idea. See if you can experience this breath, this spirit, just a few more minutes. Why am I asking you to do that? Well, if you do, you will be doing deeply spiritual work. You may not realize it. You'll learn why in the early days the name for God's people was called Israel, or strives with God. You see, within each of us, if we try and sit with that moment, we're going to wrestle. We're going to strive with a source. Every ugly thing, every excuse, every lie, every bad thought, every fouled motive, every distraction, and every false pretense will start to bubble to the surface over time. Trust me, it'll happen to you just like it happened to me, just like it happened to thousands and thousands and thousands of people before us. Sit with each one of these. Breathe them in, and then let them all go as you exhale. Give it by breathing it out to this unending benevolence that is coming to you. And then watch how love fills its place. This is the practice of contemplation. It's the practice of meditation. It's the practice of raising consciousness. It's how you become an aware person. It's spiritual practice. Think about it. You're just cleaning house on that false self that's inside you, the thing that is so defensive and egotistical, and you're making way for this new thing to emerge. This practice won't make you weird. It'll make you into the most authentic you that you can be. It will bring about true humility. Inspiration will now mean something to you. New life will mean something to you. Many call it being born again. And if you don't like that term, well, then you'll see it in a very different way, because you're going to see all things in a very different way. Truth will be true on an entirely other level. You will experience resuscitation. You will begin a spiritual path. Spiritual maturity is right before you. And you will love, and trust me on this, you will love the proximity of that source. If it bugs you right now that this idea of God breathing into you mouth to mouth at every moment, staring you in the face, is troubling you now, if you can sit with the idea long enough, that will become one of the greatest sources of joy in your life. Then open your eyes and see all the people in the world who have sat in this exact same place. It's like, whoa, the Matrix all of a sudden. People all over the world at different spaces, different times, using different words and different expressions and different languages, all to talk about this same exact experience of coming to know their maker. Explore how many expressions there are of this single experience of being breathed. Once you do, get ready for the ride of your life. Thanks so much for tuning in to the KevCast. It really means a lot that you give your time and energy to this. It's my goal that this content is challenging sometimes, but mostly helpful, inspiring, and encouraging to you. It's my goal that in the end, you become a much better person. And guess what? I'll become a better person if I hear from you. I welcome your feedback, good or bad. I'd love to start a dialogue with you. If I can answer any questions, please reach out to me at my website, www.kevinwinder.com. Now, remember, I'm a member of the Experts Academy, and I help people who want to understand spirituality to make sense of their religious experience so that they can clearly see God in the world. Until next time, have a great day.